Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers bounce back from their ugly loss to the Pirates to put up what we call an angry win, pounding the Pirates 11-1 behind solid pitching and just an offensive outburst like we haven't seen even in this year that's been pretty good offensively. We have a lot to talk about this game, plus some exciting news about Ryan Pepiot's Major League debut that's coming this morning, and some looks at how the trade market already seems to be starting to shape up. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and that way you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Semperio. We're doing a split episode today, so it will be me for the first half and then Vince for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and let's talk Dodgers. So after that lackluster win on Monday where the Dodgers, they couldn't hit, and the few times they did hit the ball hard, they found gloves. Dodgers lost to break their winning streak. Well, they came back and said, no more of that. And they just jumped out early and often against the Pirates, beating them 11-1. Tony Gonsolin went 5 shutout innings, got a little bit of help. Mookie Betts helped him defensively. Well, Mookie Betts and Austin Barnes, great throw by Mookie, great tag by Barnes to cut down Ben Gamel at the plate on what should have been a sac fly, if not for Mookie being superhuman. And then, you know, maybe Gonsolin got a little bit of help from the umpire to end that inning after a long at-bat by Yoshi Tsutsugo. The umpire gave Gonsolin a few inches off the plate for strike 3 when it should have been ball 4. But other than that, you know, Gonsolin kind of scattered some base runners, only allowed one hit, but he walked 4 guys. So 5 base runners in 5 innings isn't terrible. He got 5 strikeouts, so obviously you'd like to see the walks be down a little bit more. He really didn't have command of his changeup very well. The first, I think, 6 changeups he threw were all balls, and then he did start landing him in the strike zone a little bit in that Tsutsugo at bat in the first inning, but Tsutsugo kept fouling them off, so he wasn't getting the swing and miss on that. And for a guy like Tony Gonsolin, not having the changeup working made everything else have to work a little bit harder, and the changeup is his best pitch. So it was a challenge, and yet somehow he got through 5 scoreless innings, dropped his season ERA to, I think, 1.33. The bullpen came in and did their jobs. By that time, it was basically a blowout, and so Dave Roberts was able to strategically deploy. Didn't just go with the B team. You know, Bruce Dargaterol got in, Phil Bickford got in, Alex Vesia got in, but it was all relatively easy innings. Vesia, there were a couple errors in his inning that made him work through traffic a little bit. The only run was allowed by Reyes Maranta, who also struggled to find the strike zone a little bit, and gave up a run on a ground ball fielder's choice. It was almost an inning double play. Not a big deal. Dodgers win 11-1. Maybe the highlight of the game. Well, you know, the offense was the story. Everybody in the starting lineup got at least one hit except for Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts had a 10-game hitting streak coming in. He went 0 for 5, and his hitting streak ended. Everybody else, the other 8, all got at least one hit. Not only that, they all got at least one extra base hit. All of them got exactly one extra base hit except for Justin Turner, who had 3 doubles. But then you had doubles from Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, Cody Bellinger, Gavin Lux, and Austin Barnes, a triple from Max Muncy, and a home run from Edwin Rios. Plus a couple other hits. The Dodgers had 10 extra base hits, 15 hits overall. Justin Turner had 4 hits, raising his season batting average from going into the game. It was 168. He got that up to 200 and raised his season OPS from 469 to 552. And this late in the season, that's a pretty impressive jump in one day. I'm interested to see. I'm looking at his player profile, his percentile rankings on Baseball Savant. Interested to see how those change a little bit. I'm actually going to take a screenshot right now as I'm thinking about this, because these update daily. And so what we're seeing right now is his before this game numbers. And so we've got expected WOBA. He's in the 31st percentile, hard hit percentage, 21st percentile. But I noticed on Monday's game, Justin Turner was starting to hit the ball hard, and it just wasn't falling. He had two outs on Monday, a force out that was 103.4 miles an hour with a 610 expected batting average, and then a fly out that was 105.9 miles an hour with a 930 expected batting average, a barrel. The definition of a barrel is basically a ball that has an expected batting average of at least 500 and an expected slugging percentage of at least 1500. So basically, it's expected to be a double or a home run a lot of the time. And JT hit one, and it was a flyout. But even though he didn't have anything to show for it on Monday, I made a mental note. Okay, he's starting to hit the ball a little bit harder. And then we saw it on Tuesday. He didn't hit the ball. It was a different kind of thing, but only had one ball that was hit as hard as the two on Monday. His last double was 106.8 miles an hour, had a 670 expected batting average. But then his other two doubles were 98.8 and 99.3, and both had high expected batting average. And just for good measure, he also blooped in a single that had a 980 expected batting average, even though the exit velocity was only 68.4, because sometimes it's not about how hard you hit it, but where you hit it. But seeing Justin Turner start to hit the ball hard, make good contact, makes me very happy, because we know Justin Turner can hit, and there was always that lingering fear. Okay, did he just get old? Did he lose it? Well, I think what we saw on Tuesday is the old Justin Turner is still here. Who knows how good he will be this year, but hopefully what we're seeing is him actually starting to figure things out, and it's a sign of things to come, because the Dodgers are a better team when Justin Turner's hitting. And, you know, on a day when, you know, Mookie Betts didn't hit, Cody Bellinger had his struggles. He had two strikeouts and kind of looked overmatched a little bit, but he also ended up hitting a double. And, you know, but to have Justin Turner step up, even when some of the other guys maybe aren't, is going to be huge. Because on a day like Tuesday, almost everybody hit. The Dodgers would have been fine with only half of those guys hitting because their pitching was great, only allowed one run. But having all these guys turn it on, even if they're hardly ever all on at the same time in the same game, you increase your chances of having three or four or five of them on in any given game. And that makes it really hard to beat this team when their pitching is this good and the offense has this much potential. So it made me very, very happy to see Justin Turner start to break out of that slump. Hopefully it is a sign of things to come, because I love Justin Turner. He is a Dodgers legend, and you know, hopefully he can be the Justin Turner we expect him to be and need him to be, because that's the guy we all love. And so, happy day for me on Tuesday. I'm going to come back in just a minute and talk about why Wednesday today is going to be a happy day, because Ryan Pepiot is making his major league debut, and I am as excited about this as I've been in a long time about a Dodgers debut. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. With spring in the air, it's a time of renewal and growth, personally and professionally. As your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmlb. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmlb to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, I am back. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. When you're done with this show, maybe check out the Locked On Now podcast. There's recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Ryan Pepiot. The Dodgers finally announced for sure on Tuesday. Ryan Pepiot will be making his Major League debut, starting the game this morning. I believe the game starts at about 9:30 Pacific time. So, you know, you're barely going to have time to get through this episode before the game starts. But I can't wait. Ryan Pepiot, as you guys know, he was a guest on this show a year or so ago. Just a great, humble guy. We talked a lot about, you know, coming from college. His big issue in college was his command. He walked too many guys. His issue when he got to the minors, he was walking too many guys. It's still probably his biggest issue, but he's found a way to, it's gotten much better, and he has been dominant despite it. And you know, he's got a very good fastball. It gets up to, I think, 97 miles an hour, somewhere around there. He doesn't sit quite that high, more like 94-ish, but that's plenty fast when you have one of the best changeups in baseball. And Ryan Pepiot, when he makes his Major League debut today, he will officially have one of the best changeups in Major League Baseball, because he will be in Major League Baseball now. His changeup is that good, and he's added a sweeping slider that has turned into a really, really good third pitch. And so, you know, we don't know what to expect, even though it's the lowly Pirates. You know, they were the lowly Pirates when Caleb Ferguson made his debut against them in 2018, I think it was. And he got lit up. He got knocked around. Hopefully that's not the case with Pepiot. They're going to have Will Smith there catching him. You know, hopefully Smith can guide Pepiot through. When Pepiot was talking to the media before Tuesday's game, he talked about his pitch sequencing, about how he's confident in each of the pitches, but he's still working on throwing them in the right situations. I think Will Smith will help a lot with that. And I'm sure Smith, he's had the last 2 days off because of a little nagging injury. I'm sure he spent a lot of time studying Ryan Pepiot so that he could be ready to guide him through this first career start. It's an exciting time for Will Smith to be a part of that. And it's an exciting time for us fans, because Ryan Pepiot is going to be a good one. I don't know how good he's going to be today. I hope he, you know, I'm not expecting a no-hitter, you know, but if he could come out and go five innings and allow two runs, that we'll take that. That's a huge success. And it would give the Dodgers what they need right now, this time through the rotation. But just, it's hard not to root for the guy, Ryan Pepiot, as you know, if you listen to him talk when he was on our podcast, he's just so genuine and humble, and not humble in a false humility sort of way. He recognizes that he's a really good pitcher, you know, and so one of the reporters asked him, do you feel like you're ready for this? And he said, yeah. And he said, yeah, I've been wanting to do this my whole life. I'm ready. And I like that confidence. But he's also a guy who recognizes, you know, what he needs to work on, and he's been working on it. He talked about the last couple of years when he's been in big league spring training camp, watching Kershaw and Buehler and how they work, how do they go about their stuff. He talked about a little bits of advice he's gotten from some of those guys the last couple of days he's been on the taxi squad. And it's just going to be, it's just another step in Pepiot's development. He's going to end up back in the minor leagues, probably even, you know, later today after the game. They'll send him back down. One note is that if they decide to go with a sixth guy again next time through, well, that would line up for the day of the doubleheader next week. And they could, that's a way to get around the 15-day option time where you have to be in the minors for 15 days. That doesn't apply when you're the extra man on the roster for a doubleheader. And so Pepiot could be called up to start one of those games in the doubleheader and then sent back down again. Obviously, we'd eventually run into the limit on options, but right now it seems to make a lot of sense for them to do that. We don't know as of the time I'm recording this, which is like 9 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday night. We don't know for sure what the corresponding move or moves will be for Pepiot. There is an open spot on the 40-man roster, so they don't necessarily need to make a 40-man move, but they will need to make a move for the active roster, the 26-man roster. I wouldn't be surprised if Robbie Erlin is both of those moves. They could DFA him, or they could just send him down. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But the end result is Ryan Pepiot is starting. And I think I don't know. I've been excited about a lot of Dodgers pitching prospects over the years. I remember driving from Utah to California just so I could be at Walker Buehler's first career start. But Buehler had already been in the big leagues a little bit as a reliever before that. And so it was a little bit different. But I remember being excited for Clayton Kershaw's first start when he got called up. And that's the kind of thing. I'm not quite as excited for Pepiot as Kershaw, but it's right up there. So I can't wait to see it. I love morning baseball. I love waking up and, oh, the game's already just about to start. Sweet. Let's turn it on and watch baseball all day. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Excited for Ryan Pepiot. Excited for him, for his family, and for us as fans. So that's going to do it for me for today. I want to thank you again personally for listening to Locked On Dodgers or watching us every weekday, making us your first listen. It means a lot to us. I know it means a lot to Vince too. And Vince is going to talk a little bit about some trade rumors regarding a current Dodger and a couple guys who the Dodgers might be interested and you know, talk some about that. And he'll probably have a few thoughts on this Dodgers-Pirates game too. So thank you for making us your first listen. And Vince will be along in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning by the person behind the counter as they order the part on their computer when you can just order the part you need on your computer? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Save up to 100% of the cost of for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. You don't have to be a mechanic. You don't have to work at a dealership. You get the same low price as everyone else. And Rock Auto is a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years. So go to rockauto.com. Check out their easy-to-use website. Find everything you need for your car or truck. And if they ask, how did you hear about us, in that box, make sure to put Locked On and let them know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Yo, Vince here to close out the episode, and as Jeff said, I'll be talking about the starting pitching trade market, one player named from the Dodgers, a few players named that were linked to the Dodgers at some point in the offseason, but before, just want to say that games like Tuesday are a lot more fun than games like Monday, and as we continue to preach, it's a long season, and these Dodgers are going to win a lot more games than they lose, and they're going to be always probably a bit more fun when they win than when they lose. So shout out to Justin Turner, who, as soon as I talk about him and how long the leash is for him to continue to be in the starting lineup, he decides to hit three doubles and a single and look a little bit better. But obviously it's one game. We've seen a lot of guys get hot for one game and then not be able to sustain it. So I would love for him to sustain it and keep that going. But let's hop right into the topic I have. And it comes off a tweet from Peter Gammons. He says that some people say the Reds are now willing to talk about Luis Castillo and Tyler Mahle, probably because the Reds only have 4 or 5 wins so far. He says that the A's won't trade Frankie Montas for at least 2 months. And then the other note he has is the Dodgers will move David Price to give him starting opportunity. So let's start off with David Price. And, you know, something that Jeff and I have, we didn't necessarily say trade, but we did, you know, didn't think David Price was going to make it through the season in a Dodger uniform. And it makes sense for him. For the Dodgers to move him, they don't have a need for him. Even with the injury to Andrew Heaney, David Price is still not in the starting rotation. Even with them needing spot starters, David Price is not in the starting rotation. I know that he was on the COVID IL and it's kind of stayed there. And you know, it could be a matter of building his arm back up, but it did seem like they're keeping him on there. Just so he doesn't get hurt, so he does have trade value. And it's one of those things where, you know, I'm sure David Price wants to be on the Dodgers. Obviously, you want to be on a team that's going to win and have a chance at winning a World Series. But I do think David Price is also a competitor by nature and wants to be a starting pitcher again. And with the Dodgers, that role just isn't quite there. He's sitting behind the five in the rotation right now of Buehler, Julio, Kershaw, Anderson, and Gonsolin. He's sitting behind Ryan Pepiot. He's sitting behind Andre Jackson. He's probably even sitting behind Mitch White at this point. And then when Andrew Heaney comes back, he's behind him as well. So there's just no clear path for David Price to be a starter for the Dodgers unless a lot of injuries occur, and the Dodgers aren't going to count on those injuries to happen in order for them to keep him around. At this point, you know, he's a decent reliever, but they have relievers better than him. He doesn't necessarily have a role on this roster, and knowing the Dodgers have that crunch on the 40-man roster in general, it's time for, you know, David Price to probably move on. I don't know what a trade market's going to be. I don't know how low the Dodgers are willing to go in terms of value returned. You know, is it a low-level prospect? Is it going to be a cash considerations type of deal? You know, the Dodgers already have money earmarked for David Price. It's already there. They do have, you know, assuming everything stays as it is, the Trevor Bauer money. You know, it sucks to talk about it in this aspect, but the Trevor Bauer money comes off the books necessarily. They don't need the money aspect from David Price. They can still pay him and basically get little to no money back from any team and basically just put him on wherever he wants to go or wherever who wants him. I thought that it might come to a point where they DFA him and he just gets to become a free agent and decide where he wants to go on that and that end. And, you know, that's also still possible. But, you know, the fact that Peter Gammons mentioned a trade means that the Dodgers are probably already out there with him on the market and seeing if there's any interest. So, you know, David Price has had an interesting journey as a Dodger. Didn't play in 2020. Was pretty good early in 2021, kind of fell off, wasn't on the postseason roster in 2021, came into the season without really having a role. Even if everything had gone right for David Price, it was still hard to see him making the opening day roster in the starting rotation. So it always seemed like this was going to be the case for him, whether it was trade or DFA. You would hope that he would pitch well enough early in the year and whatever stints he had in order to give himself trade value. I think he has done that. I think there is some trade value. And I still think he can be a number four or five starting pitcher for a decent team, decent to mediocre team. I don't know, you know, if there's any teams that have high World Series aspirations that are knocking down the door for David Price. But that remains to be seen. That's what the Dodgers are working on now. And, you know, salute to David Price. We may have already seen his last pitch as a Dodger. But going on to the other names that are on there, in Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle from the Reds, Frankie Montas from the A's. The Dodgers were somewhat linked to all of them at some point in the offseason, didn't end up getting any of them. And heading into the season, the Dodgers starting pitching was probably the biggest question mark. And so far, a month into the season, it's been a revelation, to say the least. They are completely dominating in terms of leading the league in ERA from starting pitching. You've seen Clayton Kershaw not turn back the clock, but Clayton Kershaw be really good. Walker Buehler, after a couple weird starts, has been really good. Julio, despite all the talks about him and how long he pitches, has been really good. Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson, they're not giving you the length necessarily, 6-7 innings. Gonsolin a little more than Anderson in that respect, but they are giving you scoreless innings or low scoring outings. And you know, Andrew Heaney was unhittable in his first couple of starts. So when he comes back, you know, we'll see Ryan Pepiot today, this morning. So the Dodgers have now some starting pitching depth. And, you know, it's a matter of do they trust it? And I'm not going to 100% sit here and say that I trust Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson, and Andrew Heaney the rest of the season and into October. But with Walker Buehler, Julio Diaz, and Clayton Kershaw, you don't necessarily need to trust them in October as much because, as we've seen before, you only really need one horse and guys to give you some innings. Preferably you have two guys that can give you length, and then you're playing with house money at that point in the postseason. We've seen teams, you know, we've seen giant teams win with just basically Madison Bumgarner being the only good starting pitcher and other people just kind of filling in three or four innings at the start of a game. We've seen openers in the World Series now. We've seen a bunch of different ways to deploy your pitching staff. So starting pitching, while it still can help you win a World Series, obviously we saw Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg kind of lead the way for the Nationals in 2019. They didn't have, you know, they had not too much behind them in terms of going into the postseason. You know, you weren't expecting, I think, who they had back then, Patrick Corbin and guys like that. So in that sense, it doesn't really matter. And it's where you, I guess for the Dodgers, it's how comfortable they feel in Julio and Kershaw. Do you feel comfortable in them being your number two and three in the postseason? You know, and do you think that guys like Montas or Castillo would be better than them? And for me, I don't know. You know, obviously Castillo's had a little bit of a weird year. Montas has been pretty decent. But I don't know, for whatever the cost it is to get them, I don't know if they significantly upgrade you to be a top two in your rotation. And for the Dodgers, for the upgrade they need, or the upgrade they would need for, you know, what they're looking for, it has to be somebody that's going to sit one or two in your rotation. I don't think they should go out and give up assets for somebody that's going to sit three, four in that rotation. And while we don't know what the market is right now, based on what we saw in the offseason and based on the fact that there's going to be more teams competing for postseason spots and everything else, the price could be driven up in terms of assets, prospects, that the Reds and A's are looking for. And it's a game that the Dodgers probably won't get into. If anything, we know that Danny Duffy and Dustin May are supposed to come back at some point in the second half of the season. It's probably a matter of the Dodgers counting them as their deals, you know, quote-unquote trades that they make in the offseason or in the middle of the season in order to bolster themselves for an October run. So I don't think the Dodgers will be in the starting pitching market in terms of trades at the moment. If someone, a bigger name emerges, somebody that's going to be either in front of Walker Buehler or right behind Walker Buehler emerges, I would expect them to be in on that. But for when it comes to Frankie Montas, Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, I don't expect them to be in there. So obviously that can change, and one injury can change that, and or ineffectiveness from somebody else can change that. Or let's just say the A's and Reds overplayed their hand and the market's cheaper than it was in the offseason, then I expect the Dodgers to jump in there. But all in all, the Dodgers are good right now, and hopefully Andrew Heaney can come back and be what he was the first two starts, and then the Dodgers are sitting pretty, even more so than before. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you need something else to listen to, we're going to plug Locked On Angels here, because Reed Detmers threw a no-hitter last night, a 22-year-old rookie no-hitter in Anaheim. You had Anthony Rendon hitting a left-handed home run off Brett Phillips. You had Mike Trout hitting a couple home runs. You had the night before Ohtani hitting a couple home runs and his first career Grand Slam ever. So go check out Locked On Angels, our friends, buddies from up the five. And yeah, go check them out. If you want to find us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.